It's voodoo, man.
Yeah. Voodoo, voodoo, we do.
Spooky voodoo. Who's doing the intro?
I'll do it. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean?
I might feel it. Something somewhere.
I feel it. It's moist and wonderful.
We need less of Jeremy.
We always need less of Jeremy.
I've been getting that my whole life, guys. All right, you know.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government licenses. It allows use and reuse by anyone except government actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I thought this was my safe space.
No. The internet is my safe space. I just block anyone I don't like. I blocked some guy tonight. Some friend of yours, Jeremy. I'm not going to say his name, but some guy started writing me and telling me what I had to do to fix Fiendphone and improve it.
And I'm like I said, he's not really my friend. He's another co-host.
Yeah, I asked someone else who knows him better, and the guy said that their nickname for that guy is Dr. Sheldon Cooper, and he's probably on the spectrum, shall we say?
I have been called Sheldon more than once or three times
but
in
you
my
don't
life.
Like write strangers and tell them, you know, what you really need to do with Fiendphone is put in some noise cancellation, and I'm like, no, we took it out because with. If you put it in, it's basically Skype. Why don't you just use Skype? And he's like, but I was on Jeremy's podcast when Jeremy wasn't there with Dave, and it didn't sound good, and there was an echo because I was using earbuds. I'm like,
well, he was the one using earbuds. Well, then you know what? That's his fault.
I know.
I was trying to blame it on somebody else. Like I said,
Dave's retarded.
Well, yes.
As you
Dave,
said.
Dave, I love you, but, you know, he'll admit he's just learning this stuff too. Yeah. So.
It's weird though. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. It'd be kind of like if someone was using a Microsoft computer and they were like stabbing it with a fork and it wasn't responding. And then they decided to like email Bill Gates and tell him about it. That's how it kind of felt to me. And then I was explaining to this guy that, like, you know, this has happened over and over and over. I don't give tech support for this anymore. Read the 20 minute audio school. And I sent him the link, and like an hour later he writes me back and says, you know, you should probably put Amazon affiliate links on there. You'll make money. And then he links to me on Amazon affiliate links, like how to sign up for it. Like, I was a first adopter of that. I was using it like 10 years ago. And every item I mention on that page has an Amazon affiliate link on the link. Like, I don't know why he can't see them. I'm not picking on one guy on radio who will probably never hear this. I'm basically complaining about how even smart people can be stupid and waste your time. And, you know, what do you think, Jim? Do you ever deal with people like that?
Sometimes that's me. Sometimes I'm like, oh, damn it. And I'm cussing and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. And I'm like, oh, I just forgot to check that box. Duh.
Yeah.
And then I feel like an idiot. But I don't email anybody. Make myself look the fool to doing it. So, no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes it happens to the best of us. But
let's see.
But the difference is you try to figure out what the problem is on your end. Because that's usually where the problem is. What's the term for a computer? And yeah, PEPCAC.
Problem computer exists chair, between not, chair and keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, the automobile repairman version of that is it's the nut. There's a problem with the nut behind the wheel.
Yeah, I heard a picnic, which is problem in chair, not in computer.
Yeah. That yeah.
There you go. I should have just said to him, PEPCAC, Google it, and then blocked him. But I blocked him. I don't know. He was also one of these people that like argues in slow motion. You know, like it takes him like 2 hours to get out like five posts to you, five tweets, five twats, five twerks, whatever they are. Twerks.
Twerks.
What do they call it when you're writing someone one-on-one on face beef? PMs, IMs, something like that.
Posts, sure. Comments,
messages, I don't DMs. Know.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it took him like 2 hours to do this whole back and forth thing, kind of like hung up some of my time. So people are idiots and I will block them. And, you know, the guy's a libertarian, so he should understand. What's that concept y'all talk about you can hang out with
time
me
preference?
What?
Time preference.
Not time preference. No, I like that. That sounds like an economic
freedom,
term.
Freedom of association.
Yeah, freedom of disassociation podcast. Yeah, disassociation. Wasn't him, but it was someone else.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, Aspergertarianism runs rampant, you know, in this community. I am. Well, Lisa and I are proud members of that community.
Jim, you never heard that?
Aspergertarians, yes.
Aspergertarians.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, Aspergers.
You know. I've heard of libertarian Aspergers.
Yeah,
libertarian. Yeah, we just, yeah. You know, we just kind of twisted.
Oh, I have a correction. Made a last you. Night I was talking about something on the show, and then I said, you know, and I was talking about, like, people that do stupid stuff, and then I said, well, no, I'm trying to get something out here, and you keep interrupting me, Lisa. I mean, Diana, but I'm really trying to talk about Lisa, the last show, and then we went to a break, and it never came back, and it sounded like I was calling Lisa stupid. I was not. basically, all I was doing was I was going to talk about how she seems to love to argue with statists on the internet, whereas I just blocked them, because it doesn't really come to anything good.
No, I like arguing with them, but I'd kind of take another tact, like how is that working?
Yeah.
I don't try to be condescending or anything like that, but they always try to say, well, you know, the free market, magical free market does not work. You know, that's why we need these regulations. Well, okay, it's regulated. Why aren't they working?
Yeah.
Why aren't these things working? Oh, well, it just needs more regulations. Like, well, regulations aren't like this homogeneous blob you just, like, throw more at, like it's mud. You know, it's there. What kind of regulations? And usually that's when they start going, like, okay, maybe regulations isn't just some buzzword. It means stuff, you know. So I like doing that. It's fun.
I was listening to some Freedom Fiends today from 5 years ago on the Freedom Fiends app, which is available in the Android store. Just go there and search Freedom Fiends, and there's a new version of it, and it's pretty kick-ass.
I like the new thumbnail design. I noticed it today when I turned my phone on.
Yeah, the one for the whole app, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one was like the little thumbnail of me talking into a mic with a cat sitting on the microphone photoshopped in. And I kind of, like, I think if you've seen that picture, which we use sometimes for the show icon for the MP3, you'll know what it is. But it hit me that if you haven't seen that, you probably don't know what that is. It's probably too small to read as what it is. Whereas
I could read it on my phone, but and I have pretty bad eyes, but anyway.
But you've seen it before. I was thinking from the eyes of someone who'd never seen the picture. You know, you kind of fill in the blanks when something's tiny if you've seen it before. But the one I'm using, I think that if you've never seen it, you can see what it is. It's a yellow and black field or flag with a radio antenna on it. And it's, you know, doesn't like really it. Say as much. I guess it does say something about the Fiends. You know, yellow and black's the ANCAP, anarcho-capitalist flag, if you're a flagget. And, you know, radio, we're on radio. But the main thing is yellow really stands out, almost in a garish way. Like the first book I published, that I self-published before you could do it online, like I went to a printer. I did the layout myself on a computer and then went to a printer.
This is my Bingo Dauber. Go ahead.
Where's your Bingo Dauber? Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is not on the bingo board, but it would be on the giant bingo board if we ever made one. But I made the spine of it yellow, and it's kind of yellow spine. Sounds like a coward, but on a library shelf, like, draws your eye in a whole room full of books.
Oh, sure.
Yellow on a spine, like, yellow just looks garish and just draws your attention. The way I design things, you know, like there've been several comments on the Fiends app on Google Play Store that people said, like, I love this app despite the fact that it totally breaks all the rules of Google design or something like that. Like, there's, you know, like, app best practices that they have for app design, and yeah, it doesn't look anything like that. And it's the same way I design websites. And even before WordPress, like when I was designing them by hand with HTML back in 1996, like, it's all primary colors. It's all jarring. It's all shocking, but I like it. It's how I do. I'm looking at my compressor right now with the green and red and yellow buttons responding to my voice on it. And it looks like that too. So it makes sense to me. you know.
I like how all the Freedom Fiend stuff always kind of looks like retro internet. You know, like from the 90s. I kind of dig it. And Freedom I kind of get that feel. Yeah, when I see it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of that retro feel. It just needs a little bit more, like, blinking text, and it needs to play a MIDI.
No. You know, have you ever heard the term dancing baloney?
Yes, I have.
I've seen that movie. It's a term for that kind of web. Well, not for the garish letters and colors, but for, like, you know, blinking text and blinking GIFs and things like that. Although GIFs are making a comeback. What's old is new.
Yeah.
Yeah. For memes, but yeah, there's actually
it's no more dancing babies though. I'm glad about
right,
that.
Right, right. But blinking HTML, the HTML blink tag, there's actually HTML validators that flag that as not compliant, even though it was, you know, adopted at one point. It's just so horrible that no one wants it. I want it. I should use it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad Flash is gone. That's the one thing I never liked, is going to a website and then having to watch a Flash animation.
Why? Yeah, it was. I mean, my best practices of websites and apps, I have a set in my mind that a lot of stuff that's compliant with general design practices break. Like, my thing is, you know, you should have the information easily available. You shouldn't have to wait through an animation to get to it. And a really big thing is you should have the name of, like, on a news site, you need the name of the city and state on every page. Because people don't realize that stuff gets shared globally. And you find this thing that says, like, Springfield police shot a man today for, you know, using the Fiends app. And you're like, Springfield where? There's like 20 states, you know, that have.
That's why a lot of good news articles start. What article even starts? It says, Springfield, Illinois. A Springfield man, and then it goes on to that. Yeah.
But a lot of them don't say that the state anymore because they're intended, you know, they're aimed at people who buy the printed paper in that town, and they don't realize that the same stuff going on their website goes all over the world. Especially when a policeman shoots someone for using the Fiends app in public. Which is happening more and more.
It's a rampant epidemic.
Ah.
Meow. Meow. Yeah. I am a cat. Yeah. Meow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best meow in the game.
Best meow practices.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
The train wreck just keeps smashing into the building in New Jersey.
Yeah. So, for those who don't know, in Radioland, there's this guy named J. Neil Schulman who wrote some sci-fi books few decades ago that were mildly popular for a moment. And I think he wrote an episode of Twilight Zone when they came back on in the 80s for a minute. And then he made a movie called Alongside Night, which is an adaptation of one of his books that's supposed to be a good book, and it's a horrible movie, and you can go on YouTube and watch it.
That. It's an insult to movies.
It's a collection of images and audio in one file. And he likes to argue with people who say his movie's not good, and he believes that his movie is objectively good. I guess he's an objectivist because he believes
more than competently made.
Yes,
I believe is the phrase I've seen him use. And
it's actually
times.
Less than competently made.
Yes.
But, so he kind of outdid himself today by doing a blog post on jneilschulman.agorist.com. Trump campaign sponsors libertarian movie. I don't even know where to begin.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. It's only just one paragraph. Yeah, it's only one paragraph, and the rest is just kind of fluff for the movie. So it's the presidential candidate for the campaign for the Republican candidate, Donald J. Trump, began today sponsoring showings of the libertarian movie, quote, A Long Night, unquote, based on Prometheus award-winning 1979 first novel by J. Neil Schulman, endorsed by Nobel laureate Milton Friedman, quote, A Clockwork Orange, unquote, novelist Anthony Burgess and Dr. Ron Paul on that's an unnecessarily long title for a movie on the Roku 24-hour movie channel. Now the problem is that's not how you advertise on Roku. What you do is you call up Roku and you say, hey, or YouTube or whatever streaming service it's throwing stuff to your TV on. If they say, hey, we want to buy advertisements on just stuff. Put my campaign video out on there, and whatever people load, I just want it playing. Sometimes they'll say, I don't want it on this kind of thing or this kind of these kind of videos. Just everything else I wanted on. So he thinks because he was watching his movie, which is kind of interesting, but he's watching his movie and he sees an ad for Donald Trump. He's like, oh, they liked my movie and decided to sponsor it. That's not how any of this works.
First of all, yeah, you're correct in all of that. And first of all, the first part of that, he was watching his movie and, I'm assuming this guy watches his movie once a day on Roku just to, like, make himself, it's like there's that Pink Floyd line about like the home for old statists where they can watch themselves on closed circuit TV to make sure they're still real. That's kind of like Schulman watching his movie once a day.
Well, how else is he going to guarantee at least one new view a day unless he does?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah. Well, I think we're driving down, which is good. We're improving his Alexa rating. It's gone from 16 million to 10.2 million recently on this website.
You're welcome, Schulman.
Yeah, it's from us sending people there to laugh at him. But see, I don't know if he's really that delusional or if this is kind of like jackassery, like, he thinks it's clickbait and going to get picked up somewhere. Like, he actually may know that that's not how it works. Like,
well, I would hope so, because I think I said to you earlier, in order for that to be like true, that would have to mean like every commercial that ever plays anywhere is an endorsement of whatever show it runs up along during, next to whatever.
Hillary Clinton insane. Also advertises on Roku, so, it could equally be said by the same logic that she supports this movie.
I've seen an ad for Scientology in front of one of my videos for against Scientology when I used to upload pictures of me protesting against them.
Yeah, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom is on
clearly they
YouTube.
Endorse my movie.
Is on YouTube, and let's see what advertises on YouTube that's horrible. I don't know. Hillary Clinton and
Donald Trump. Much all the ads that are running. I have YouTube Red, so I don't see ads anyway. And even if I did, I have ad blockers.
You pay them not to show you ads.
No,
you know what?
I pay, I pay them for the music subscription, and then it comes with Google Red. Either way.
You know, ever since they rolled out Google Red, YouTube Red, if you don't have YouTube Red, videos are taking longer to load. Have you noticed that, Jeremy?
Yes, actually.
Yeah. Like 10 seconds of nothing before they play on a good connection.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Wow. Oh, I remember something. Yesterday you guys were talking about logical fallacies.
Yes.
You guys were talking about ad hominems.
Yes.
And there was one thing that I wanted
to point
out.
You're a jerk, so you don't know anything about logical fallacies.
Here's the thing. You can actually make a valid ad hominem argument. These exist.
A lot of them can be valid.
Yeah. A lot of logical fallacies can be valid, but especially
I said that about the Hitler one, about when people use
slippery.
When people call Goodwin's law or Godwin's law on you as if that's checkmate. Like as soon as you mention Hitler, they pretend they've won. When in reality, some comparisons to Hitler or Nazis are apt, and the slippery slope thing is often apt, especially with politicians trying to take away your rights over time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
take for example, if I say this really smart guy over here. Yeah, this guy really is a smart guy over here says the Earth is flat, so therefore it's true. It's like no, you know, that guy is a child molester. I mean, yeah, it's right that the Earth is not flat, but you know, the argument that he's saying that this person is a child molester has no bearing on whether or not the Earth is flat or round, right? But if we were to say this guy would be a terrible candidate to be the daycare center because he's a child molester, that is an actual valid ad hominem argument, and that would not be fallacious.
There's something that, after I listened to that today, I realized that we didn't really touch on in special places where it needed to be touched when Diana said it was, she talked about people who say, well, I'm right and you're wrong because I have a master's degree. She mentioned that had happened to her in arguments. Something I've noticed, especially with people who are PhDs, is people believing that that a PhD in one narrow field gives them expertise in every field. That's pretty common. People who have PhDs think they are gods and often think that they can rule over people because they have superior knowledge. But a lot of times they have superior knowledge. First of all, it's not always superior knowledge, especially when it's something like economics, where the commonly believed thing is generally wrong. You know, the economics that if you get a PhD in economics, you are an expert in things that are wrong.
Bob Murphy has a PhD in economics.
He's a pretty funny guy. I like his comedy. I would not
say that he's wrong.
I'd say he's right about his comedy.
Anyways,
I'm not saying he's wrong either. I'm just saying people who, you know, well, he got a PhD in economics and then learned the economics that are right, which are not the ones that are taught when you learn to be a PhD.
I think he actually did learn Austrian and got his PhD.
You get a PhD in Austrian economics? Where?
He read Human Action at like 16 or 18 or something, if I remember correctly.
Well, then, la-dee-poo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know
Auburn University. I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just saying, like, that's the exception to the rule, is someone who has a PhD
Krugman's in economics. Paul Krugman's has a PhD, doesn't he?
Doesn't he also have a Nobel Prize in economics?
Yes.
And he's wrong.
He does. Very, very wrong.
There are Austrian PhD economic programs all over the country. Auburn University is probably the most notable because that's where the Mises Institute is. But
Auburn University? I know the Mises Institute is in Auburn, Alabama, right?
Right. And yes. And they have a university very nearby. That kind of they.
Oh, okay.
In so fact, a lot of the university professors are.
Is Auburn accredited? Not that that's the be all end all, but yes. I'm curious. Okay.
Yeah.
So there is an accredited college where you could get an economics course.
Many.
A PhD in economics, and it's primarily Austrian economics. Is that what you're saying?
Many. Wow. Many. Yeah. And then there's that. Also there's the University of Santa Clara, I think it's. That's where David D. Friedman teaches an economics course, and he's not an Austrian, but he's an ANCAP Chicago scholar, which is kind of like where I kind of look at economics.
Yeah, the ones that want to throw people out of a helicopter. I'm kidding. Pulling your chain, because Pinochet consulted for an hour with one of those guys.
It was more like a meeting where he was like, everything you're doing is wrong, and then Pinochet was like,
Well, the thing is,
throw him off the helicopter, can we?
you could technically practice, you know, total free market, laissez-faire economics, and still be throwing people out of helicopters for disagreeing with you.
Yep.
You know,
this is true.
I mean, there's really nothing to. I mean, you could also be an anarchist and not go along with the non-aggression principle. I would say.
Yeah, like
this
me.
This is also true.
Like you. I mean, like violate it hard all the time.
No. That's not me. No. I'm
no, I mean, good. You could be an anarchist. There are anarchists who have, you know, murdered people.
Yep.
Political anarchists.
You know. Hey, you want to buy some land in Chile? Oh, yeah. Guy, give me millions of dollars. I'll make
Wait,
this
are you accusing someone of murder?
Shots fired. No, fraud, definitely.
Something resembling fraud. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
We don't know.
That's why I won't go to Acapulco and business. Party hard with the ANCAPs there, because I don't know if one of them will murder me for saying this. Yeah.
You know, so I'm mean. Checking the Bitcoin mining pool at democats.org, and apparently someone's still mining it. More than one person, I think, because
thank
someone's
you for,
mining it.
For your service.
Yeah, thank you for your service. Yeah, somebody
just in case.
Yeah, just in case. You never know.
I'm still sad about this because I had a big plan. I had a big conspiracy, one-man conspiracy.
In your brain. From one side of your brain conspiring with the other side of your brain.
Yeah, yeah. And the plan was to mine the heck out of this and give away BipStrongs and stuff for them so that I could take those and then pay to buy advertising so I could buy 40 spots to play every song from the Residents commercial album, which are one-minute-long songs each. 40 of them, and just play one every show for 40 days. Wow. Which would have been, what, 10 weeks?
Wow. It's
four shows a day? Yeah. That was a plan, and I had a whole bunch saved up, and then it just poofed. So I'm upset. Everybody was saving up for, you know...
For what?
Money to... Everybody was saving up money for rehab for their kids or retirement. Yeah. I was saving up to buy ads, useless ads, to annoy people with the residents. To torture people with the residents. 1 minute at a time.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. But that dream is dead.
Maybe not.
The dream is dead.
Who knows?
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Is the Node software out in the wild yet? Or
the Node software?
It's yeah, because you had so there are people who are running active nodes.
Yeah,
why not? I heard residents for a second.
Oh no! Oh no! See, if I didn't listen to all the shows, I may be willing to say, you know what? I think we should start a campaign to get Michael to let you do that anyway. But I listen to the shows, and I don't know if I could tolerate that much.
Yeah, why don't you like the residents? Why do you hate freedom? Musical freedom.
Hey, I'm not opposed to them existing and doing what they want to do. I just don't have to let it assault my ears.
Sure.
Uh-huh. You know, I wonder if Jim...
Just like Molyneux's not advocating people vote for Donald Trump, right?
No. Uh-huh. Apparently he is, though.
Do you think with Jim it's really like the Emperor's New Clothes? Like, he doesn't really like the residents. He just likes the idea that people... would think that he likes the residents. Do you think, put it this way, do you think Jim actually listens to the residents as background music when he's home cleaning his apartment?
No, because I don't clean my apartment. I'm like,
that's a trick question, Michael.
Why? Because you listen to the residents, is that what you said?
No. What? I'm saying that I don't clean my apartment because I'm trying to be everything like Konkin.
I'm trying to be Konkin.
Shots fired.
Man.
Yeah, you're buffering there, Jim.
Yeah, see, I don't know. Jim. As much as I do know about Jim, him actually listening to this and enjoying it and getting a kick out of people's reaction to it is not far out of the realm of possibilities.
So you think he does listen to it when he's alone?
Yeah, I don't know.
I was listening to the Residence Wonder of Weird album, which I have on my alternate YouTube channel to and from work yesterday, and while I was at work, and people always kind of go like, "What are you listening to?" Like, don't worry, you won't like it.
You won't understand.
There's really no point in me explaining it to you.
Where's my PBR?
So what do you think of Barack Obama, guys?
He's a liar, socialist, and his feet stink.
Yeah. So what's this thing about this new news about Stefan Molyneux and Trump? Sony posted something today, but they failed to link it. I don't know. He was doing something, telling people to vote for him. Something like that.
For the sake of
the white race or something. I don't know.
Well, Molyneux has a tendency to post misleading titles and thumbnails on his videos. Yeah. There was a series of videos saying why I was wrong about socialism, and so you're going to click it thinking like, oh, is he a socialist now? No, he wasn't. Totally clickbait.
No, this was
and I watched it and he
something.
But he can't vote for Donald Trump. So the video title Why I'm Voting for Donald Trump is clearly misleading. He couldn't vote for him if he wanted to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I didn't look further into it.
Maybe that's what Shulman was trying to do with his headline. I mean, it kind of feels like that. It kind of feels like an attempt at link bait, but I think the only link it got was me yelling at it on Facebook, somebody pointing it out to me on Twitter, me yelling at it on Facebook, and us talking about it right now. Other than that, I think the only people reading it would be him. He probably reads his own blog, huh? You think?
If he's watching his own movie on whatever day of the week that was, you know, I wouldn't put it past him to also be logging into his blogs with that different IP addresses and
just reading it.
Yeah. Before I took down all of my blog posts, I kind of went. I used to read them all the time, but it wasn't like, oh, this I'm so brilliant. It was more like, I know I misspelled something in this.
Yeah, I read things that I write. Yeah, that I've already posted and correct them sometimes.
Yeah, I edit a lot of my stuff like that, and I also I read it and go, I could have done this better. I could have made this better here.
Jimmy, happy we've played like 5 minutes of Residence now.
Oh, I'm digging it.
Is that what it was? I thought there was like just static and.
Now Flipper, the band I like, is one that sounds like static.
Yeah, I like Flipper too.
Flipper sounds like
Flipper
static.
Flipper is kind of like the grunge Residence.
I am so not hip enough with music to be on your guys' level. I'm sorry. I'm just.
You're Flipper.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I stand corrected. That is static.
I think
you're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
to? First gig.
Bingo.
It's July 4th, 1986, opening up for Flipper. So let's listen to some Flipper. Here's Flipper. And this is like one of their more commercial songs. And it still sounds like Static. This is called Sex Bomb. It's about 9 minutes of the same riff. Flipper were famous for a few things. One was that sometimes they would one by one leave the stage, hand their instruments to people in the audience, and go to the bar and drink until there were none of the band members and it was just people from the audience playing Flipper covers on the stage.
Nice.
That's awesome. Pretty funny. Yeah.
Another bass player was replaced by the bass player for Nirvana, right? Kurt Novoselic? Yeah.
Yeah, he's their only bass player that didn't die of a heroin overdose.
Yeah.
Bass players were like drummer, Spinal Tap drummers with that band. Well, actually, when they started, they always had the same drummer and guitar player. And kind of cool aspect of them too was that they had two front men who sang and played bass. They didn't play bass at the same time. They would hand the bass back and forth. One would play bass and the other one would sing, and the one playing bass would sing backup. It's kind of cool. They're both singers, both writers, both screechers.
How do you feel about bands that have drummers that sing?
I'm not opposed to it. I mean, the Eagles had that. And although everyone in the Eagles sang lead at different points, I think. Most of them.
Yeah, but the Eagles sucked, so.
The Eagles had some good songs, but.
They had Hotel Genesis. California. They had Hotel California, but the Gypsy Kings did it better, so.
Yeah.
I hate that song.
The Gypsy Kings. Come on.
The drummer in...
I don't think I've ever heard that version.
Dead Kennedys had a
It's in the Big Lebowski. How dare you, sir?
That I've heard it, but I didn't pay attention to it.
You, sir, are worse than the residents singing about Hitler.
Okay, that's harsh, man.
Let's not say things we can't take back, people.
Seriously.
Did they sing about... I don't think they sang about Hitler.
Third Reich and Roll?
Even their... Well, the Third Reich and Roll was just basically a collection of covers from 60s pop rock. And it's just kind of mashed together. And it starts out with a German version of what song is that? The Twist? Twist.
I don't know, but Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. And the same is true of Hillary, and her pantsuit stinks like Tinkle. And Trump smells like a burnt steak.
Isn't that big information thing supposed to happen in a couple hours?
Oh, yeah. When this show's over, there's going to be a WikiLeaks about Clinton, Hillary.
Allegedly.
Clinton.
Another one?
Hillary. Yeah, this is supposed to be like the October surprise, though. And it is October, so.
Coincidence?
When's the election? Is it next month? I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. November they do those things, I think, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah,
I'll be hiding under my covers.
I actually had somebody come to my door for the first time today trying to like stump for a candidate.
Yeah, I don't have much of that this year.
I haven't had any.
Local politicians are doing that. Like old people that can't hear come and knock on my door.
Oh, no, this was
vote
a young...
Vote for me and I'll set you free.
This was
well,
a... This
I mean,
was,
if you were Democrat or Republican, would you be particularly thrilled for stumping for either one of those people?
No.
Well, yeah, but it was for the local candidate.
Someone in my town got chased out by a guy with a gun for knocking on his door a couple years ago. Made the paper. some like small government constitutionalist said, get off my lawn, and chased him out with a gun for stumping.
How
darn
dare you.
Democrats. They need to be physically removed, so to speak, from helicopters.
Yeah, we're out. But no, we're not. We're
almost I don't know. This was a young kid, and he was stumping for like the Republican for some local thing. I don't know, but like I said, I've been dealt with it. I was I was gonna educate him, and then I was like, you know, I'm too tired. I'm like, I'm an anarchist, Jeremy. And he's like, oh,
stick around for the next hour.
Maybe.
Please, we need Please. You.
My voice is going too.
We torture you with good music.
Oh yes.
We'll play your choice. You choose the next song.
That might punish everybody too. So
I don't care.
Yeah. I've seen his taste in music. I've seen this.
Oh yeah, he likes
not end well.
I do share some taste with Miller Miller, so if that gives you any clue.
Man, there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And Bipcot. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Now, speaking of crazy internets, who's doing the intro?
Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's me.
Jeremy, do it. Do it.
I gotta remember it now. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to Libertarian Reeducation Centers, low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial News Plaza. Something about that. Yeah, sure, why not?
This country is covered by existence.
Freedom Fiends is covered by a Pipcot, no government license. This allows real use by anyone except governments. Learn more at pipcot.org.
Yeah.
So we are back.
I was just going to say that this country owes its very existence to the strength and courage of mesothelioma, a disease uniquely linked to mesothelioma. Fortunately, many worked in areas contained by asbestos.
I went to school.
Jim is reading stuff that's such an inside joke that even he doesn't get it. That's what I think. I don't get it. I read.
I went to a school with asbestos. For like a couple
Speaking
of years.
Speaking of bad, weird inside jokes, should we talk about your movie, God's Not Dead?
It's not my movie. Let's play some of this trailer for
movies.
God's Not Dead. There's a God's Not Dead 2 out now, and
of course there is.
It's even being worse. Pimped really hard for pay. They want me to pay to watch it on my TV system on Dish Network or whatever grandpas use, and I don't want to watch it, and it looks really dumb. It looks like a higher budget Alongside Night for Christianity instead of agorism. You know, it's a propaganda film, basically.
That's
but
funny.
It's far better made than Alongside Night, but it's still a horrible movie. And it stars Kevin Sorbo. The first one, God's Not Dead, the first one, stars Kevin Sorbo playing the role he was born to play as a
You mean
Christian
a dead guy?
Actor. No, he's playing... No. What? What's that?
Spoiler, he dies. Go ahead.
Oh. Well, of course they have to kill him off because he's playing an atheist philosophy professor leftist at a state university in it. But here, let's listen to some of this dreck. All right, here we go.
Oh my dreck.
And here you are. Explain that to me.
Louder.
What do you say to people that are
that was better.
Okay, that's
Jesus.
That's the guy from Duck Dynasty she's interviewing right there. And you know what? There's a trope that I am hearing in this that I have a name for that I will share with you all. It's solo tinkling minor key piano. Here it is.
Every episode.
If we disown him, he'll disown us.
I'm a 12-year-old. Watches his mother dying of cancer. A God who would allow that is not worth believing in. Life.
That's Sorbo.
It's really a tale told
talking
by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing.
Name?
Shakespeare.
Josh Wheaton. Philosophy 150. You might want to think about a different
Josh
instructor.
Wheaton.
Come on, man. Think Roman Colosseum. People cheering for your death.
Because the guy's wearing a cross around his neck, so. They're telling him not to take Kevin Sorbo's class because he'll eat him alive because Kevin Sorbo's playing a guy who doesn't like Christians.
I'm Professor Radisson. This is Philosophy 150. I would like to bypass senseless debate altogether and jump to the conclusion, which every sophomore is already aware of, there is no God.
all that are required for each of you is that you fill in the papers I've just given you with three little words. God is dead. Sweden is something wrong.
I can't do what you want. I'm a Christian.
If you cannot bring yourself to admit that God is dead, then you will need to defend the antithesis.
Think of Jesus as my friend.
You think Jesus is God?
I don't want to disappoint him.
So your acceptance of this challenge may be the only meaningful exposure to God and Jesus that I'll ever have.
See, to me, he's not dead. I don't want anyone to get talked out of believing in him just because his professor thinks they should.
Mr. Wheaton, are you ready?
Sorbo.
We're going to put God on trial. You think you're smarter than me?
Didn't George Burns make this movie about 30 years ago already? Oh, God's a funny movie. It's pretty good. It's the same premise.
Snob reviewed this movie and mentioned that. Oh God, You Devil did this movie better.
I never saw Oh God, You Devil, but I saw Oh God with John Denver as God's humble prophet who works at a who works at a grocery store in Pasadena, and George Burns as God incarnate come down to whisper in his ear while he's driving and drive his wife away, played by Terry Garr. She's quite a looker in that movie. Weird looker, but I'd hit it. All right.
I'm trying to humiliate me in front of my students. In that classroom, there is a God. I'm him.
This experiment is over. You get to decide who the most important person in your life is.
See that line right there. That's the bottom line of what goes on, I think, with most leftists is there's a God and I'm it.
Professor.
Most politicians too.
But I have to do this thing. Like it's something that God wants me to do. I can't just turn away from it.
You just want to ensnare them in your primitive superstition.
Sorbo.
What I want is for them to make their own choice. That's what God wants.
You have no idea how much I'm going to enjoy failing you.
Yeah, but who are you really looking to fail? Me or God?
God's not dead. He's surely
alive. Okay. Wow.
So the basic premise of this film is that there's a philosophy teacher and he's giving a straw man version of Nietzsche, which Nietzsche wrote an article called God's Not Dead, which is not a refutation of God. It's not a condemnation of God. What it's saying is the world looks like it's turning more secular, and because the world is turning more secular, people have no kind of morality to kind of just adhere to. And because of that, you know, we may have a problem with teaching ethics to people. And there could be some problems from that. So God is dead and we don't know what's going to replace it. That's what the article was. It was kind of like a worrying of, okay, there is like some underlying morality in the Bible that people adhere to. Now that that's going away, what's going to replace it? That's what the whole article is about.
Well, Nietzsche, one of my favorite graffiti ever that I've seen.
So it's a straw man.
I used to see this in the 70s sometimes was... And it wasn't a Christian thing. It was just kind of a Dada thing. It was, God is dead, Nietzsche. Nietzsche is dead, God. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. And so, he goes to class, and they have a little debate or whatever. But the spoiler is, it turns out, it's not that he's really an atheist. He's really hating God for taking his mother away from cancer. This is a typical straw man again of atheists, that they hate God, and then at the very end he dies, and you know the pastor who's been stuck on this curb with the rental car or whatever the whole movie realizes, oh, that's why I'm supposed to be here. It's because this guy is clearly needing to be saved, so he gets him to admit all of his sins so he can go to heaven.
How convenient.
It was definitely, you could see the whole hero's journey in the trailer. It was including the two of the biggest things in the hero's journey are preparing for a battle. Like picture Rocky when he's training and drinking milk and running up the steps of the library and running with the kids and throwing the apple, and they showed that in here. They showed the kid preparing for this battle of words with the professor, like in the library with a coach, with a mentor. There's always a mentor. And then there's always the battle in the innermost chamber, which they showed, which in this case was in the classroom. And yeah, it's Hollywood. It's so obviously a movie that is almost, I mean, I would say definitely propaganda, but I would say not really propaganda. I think it's a commercial. I think it could be made by atheists. I think it's made hoping that every Christian will go pay money to watch it.
Yeah.
It seems like that to me.
Well, it's a commercial. It actually is a commercial because the movie ends. Like, after the guy dies, they're all happy. And they go into the Staples Center.
He's just dead.
Yeah, they go into the Staples Center and they have a big jubilee, and not the jubilee you guys were talking about the last show.
Jubilation.
Jubilation last night. Yeah, they have a different type of jubilation.
Bloody jubilation.
Yeah, and they're all happy or whatever that he died and got to go to heaven. Yeah.
Too soon, Jeremy.
Yeah, and then it says to go and text all of the atheists you know and use the hashtag God's not dead. That's what it is. Yeah. So it's a giant commercial for a social media campaign. That's what it is. Yeah.
Excellent.
And there was a sequel to it, which is even worse. And it's got Melissa Joan Hart. And the premise of...
It's a Scopes Monkey Trial is the second one. It's a modern Scopes Monkey Trial.
Yeah, but it's a total straw man because this thing never happened. These court cases never happen. They cite all these court cases that they happened. But the court case was one of the students asked where they were. She was talking about like the area around the biblical times in history class, and someone asked her about Jesus since it was around the same time, and she was just like, oh yeah, Jesus lived in all this time or something, whatever, and then moved on. And someone went on their cell phone and was like, I'm offended, and then they had a big court case and had these evil atheist lawyers who were like trying to collude with these other parents who weren't of not the kid who was offended, but another kid who wasn't offended and was a Christian, to do this court case, and we're going to get them in trouble. We're going to get the school taken down because they dared mention Jesus. But you can't. There's no law saying you can't mention Jesus in a historical context in school, in any kind of school. And the
problem is too is that Jesus historically isn't necessarily provable. The ironic thing is that, well, it's not really ironic. It'd be ironic to Christians who think that they have the one true God. It's absolutely provable that Muhammad lived, mm-hmm. because it was 500 years later and there's more history, basically.
Yeah.
I'm not saying one's better than the other. I think they're all silly. Did we just lose a station? I heard the sound of the station drop.
Yeah. The movie is far worse. Far, far worse.
What? God's Not Dead too.
This
well,
sequel.
Put it this way. God's it was dead. So bad.
Because it has nothing to do Kevin's. With God's Not Dead.
Jim,
well, he died.
It was so bad. It was so bad they couldn't get Sorbo to be in it. People can die and be in the sequel. They're in flashbacks or whatever. But it was so bad he couldn't even be in it. That's pretty
bad.
But
it wasn't even. Yeah, it wasn't even related.
I'm making a joke, man.
Yeah, okay.
I'm making a joke.
All right, fine.
A movie so bad Kevin Sorbo won't be in it. Come on, man.
Poor
that's
Kevin
funny.
Sorbo.
Poor Kevin Sorbo.
God's Not Dead is dead when we get back.
God's Not Dead killed God.
Oh.
With the kids today.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Well, doctors love doctors. So I guess there was a news article with a sort of misleading headline that said that Ron Paul, where he says that Jill Stein is more libertarian than Gary Johnson. I don't know if that's an accurate title. But he says that if,
legit, though.
Yeah, really. If the independents who don't know what to do or who they should pick, if you tend to lead towards progressivism and liberalism, and you're probably interested in expressing yourself, you can vote for the Green Party. I think she's probably the best foreign policy candidate at the moment. But on Gary Johnson, he doesn't come across with a very crisp libertarian message. Sort of sounds like he's saying that Jill Stein is more libertarian, but I don't think that's what he's saying.
I think that actually is what he's saying.
I think he's insulting Gary Johnson by saying this liberal is more libertarian than you. I don't think Gary Johnson knows what a libertarian is. I think he's one of those, like, you know, small government guys who just wants to smoke pot and not pay much taxes, but other than that, doesn't really understand anything about it.
Well, I think maybe we should just take some of the good things from the Democrats and some of the good things from the Republicans, and then we can just say that's libertarianism. And
that is what some people think it is. Let's explain why you're kidding. So
just
it's,
bake the damn cake.
Explain that.
So there was a debate, the Libertarian Party debate, where they were talking about whether or not caterers should be forced by the government to bake cakes for gay couples who, if they had like a religious objection to them. And he just was like, bake the damn cake, and they were like, no, we agree that they should kind of work together, but that's not how you do it. You don't force them to work together. You just create hostility. And he was just like, no, bake the cake. And he was like, well, okay, would you tell a Jewish or a Jewish baker to make a cake for a Nazi? A Nazi cake for a Nazi. That? Yeah, yes. That's what Austin Peterson asked him. And he was like, yeah, just bake the damn cake. So bake the damn cake is kind of a joke.
Wait, Austin Peterson...
I actually had an argument, yes. It was surprising. I wrote it down in my calendar.
I was thinking they were on the same side, but I forgot that they were competing against each other for, you know, getting out of their dad's apartment and living in the White House for a while.
Well, Gary Johnson actually has a business.
Because Austin Peterson was the producer on the movie Alongside Night, so I'm confusing Shulman with Gary Johnson. Because they're both about they're about the same. That's legit, isn't it?
No.
He's maybe about like four Gary Johnsons. We're gonna fat shame. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're gonna fat shame, I mean, need to point out is that Gary Johnson has climbed Mount Everest twice.
I was gonna say twice, and Shulman. Climbed. No, okay, so that's gonna go to fat shame.
Shulman has climbed the largest hill at Pork Fest on his raft scooter.
I was gonna say that I'll only fat shame cops, but I decided that you only should fat shame people who work for the state because they're getting fat off your dime. I think it's
agorists who don't take Bitcoin.
Yeah, I came up with a real like. Contradictory thing about that guy. Like, I couldn't believe this. Like, so in his movie Alongside Night, he has this quartet of people who appear and say that they are just swarms of micro machines. What are they called?
Micro machines. What?
You know, what's that technology? Little stuff.
Nanotechnology.
They're just swarms of nanobots.
Machines.
And one of them's like some hot chick who's, you know, somebody on some other show. Do you remember that scene? I think it's in a sitcom on that, a show within a show in Alongside Night. Do you guys remember the scene at all?
No. I remember them getting arrested for having a prop gold piece.
Yeah.
And that was a whole thing.
No, but they were, I think it was in the show, not a show within the show. But so this guy believes in the viability that there will soon be swarms of nanobots that can pass the Turing test, but he doesn't want to accept Bitcoin. And he's broke.
Yeah.
Wow. I had a question, Jim, that you probably can't answer, but I'm curious what your thoughts on this are. I've asked for anybody who's read the book who can answer this to let me know, because so in the movie, it ends with like they break the prisoners out of the jail, they reveal the existence of the secret prison, to America, and they destroy the prison, and then all of a sudden it's libertarian paradise everywhere. That's oversimplified. That wouldn't happen. Is it that stupid in the book? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I haven't read the book. I could ask someone, but I think it's just not well explained. And I also think that he was talking about making a part two, so maybe it's just half the book. So I don't know.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT No Gov License allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
All right. Yeah, we're live. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Worms.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So what is he saying? That this movie is worse than having cancer while being in the Holocaust?
You're burying the lead here, Jim. So we're talking about Alongside Night, the movie we've been talking about before. You wanted to talk about that JFK acted alone, and you did a show on that recently, and yeah. I don't even need to hear that say, I think that's possible.
Yep.
I think part of it is that the... I think it's too horrific to most people to think that one guy could make the nation feel like that.
Yeah.
That's why I think that the conspiracy theories are so popular. Did you know, though, that the term conspiracy theory was formed in the report on that, the Warren report?
Right, yeah. I remember that's one of the things that Bugliosi talks about. Or he doesn't talk about it anymore. He passed away. But he talks about... The term conspiracy theorist started with the JFK assassination.
Yep.
And before then, they didn't really take place. And fun thing about conspiracy theories is back in the day, people only usually subscribed to one conspiracy theory. So people who were moon hoaxers, people who thought the landing on the moon was faked, they didn't necessarily believe the JFK assassination, but they believed in that one. And it's usually they specialize in one. And it wasn't until name escapes me. Yeah,
there was a
guy who decided that all of them happened, and there was like this big
Alex Jones.
No. Alex Jones, I think, is a little bit inspired by the guy. Jordan Maxwell. Maxwell kind of was the one that tied them all together and put them all in just one cohesive organization, you know, the Illuminati or whatever. He was the one that kind of did that. But before then, it was a very specialized trade. You were JFK assassinator, and you focused on that. Yeah.
Didn't know that. Good to know. The more you know, you learn something every day. Thanks, Jim. Thank you for your service. All right, so we're going to read some of these. Speaking of conspiracy theories, the director of this film, you know, I really want to stop talking about this guy. And then he does something like claims that Trump financed his movie by buying ads on Roku. You know, Trump probably has never even heard of Roku. That's how this works. You know, somebody in his administration or his campaign who's in charge of buying ads, they probably didn't even buy ads on Roku. They probably bought, you know, a package. Can I say that on radio? A package of, you know, we'll get you ads on radio, TV, internet, and streaming devices and print. And, you know, like you do an ad buy, and there's people that just do that for you and just get your message out to the people. Yeah, I think that's what happened. But let's read some of these comments that Shulman wrote of people who didn't like his movie. It's kind of fun in an interactive way, because there's not a lot of movies that you can, if you give them a bad review, the person who made the movie will argue with you on Amazon. So here's one. Contrived and seemed to appeal only to those who wanted to be free to pursue vice without restriction. That's the title of the, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but J.L. Schulman said, I like this negative review of Alongside Night, the movie, because the reviewer understands the movie's content and honestly disagrees with it. I find the attack on Austin Peterson in the last line interesting. Oh, Mr. Austin Peterson, this movie did not improve your resume for me in your bid for nomination or elective office.
Bad even for Sorbo.
That's one.
If I could give this less than one star, I would usually, I usually like Kevin Sorbo movies because they are campy and have low production values. What can I say? I have simple tastes. But this one just goes too far. It's like a bunch of seventh graders got together with the intention of making a bad movie. If this is a platform to introduce people to libertarianism, then God help libertarianism. And of course, there's like seven comments. And guess who responded first? J.L. Schulman.
What'd he say?
He said, now, thanks to the efforts of the National Security Agency whistleblower Edward Snowden and journalist Glenn Greenwald, readers no longer have to take the word of paranoid bloggers who relate the tales of paid government trolls lurking in comment sections and other concentrated top-down efforts to muddy information provided by alternative media, Raleigh said.
He's saying the government's paying people to write bad reviews of his movies. Yeah, that's paranoia. That's insanity.
Yeah,
I think
the government doesn't need to say anything bad about this movie. The movie says something bad about this movie already.
I know. Yeah. Jeremy, do you have a favorite here? One of my favorites, I can't find it, but I'm doing it from memory, is one of the reviews that I really liked was, it sounded like something a bunch of middle schoolers did for a school project where they got their parents to be the actors in it.
What was the worse than the hit Holocaust and cancer combined?
That's a little over the hill.
But I was kind of wondering what was going through the guy's head. Like, was the guy having cancer while he was at the concentration camp? And they were like, oh, no, you don't get killed yet. That would be pretty bad.
And the reviewer's name is Schulperson on that one.
Well, at least it's better than Alongside Night.
Oh, man. One of my favorites was always, it was the one that was titled the, I've seen better films growing on a month old bologna in the refrigerator. But it was funny, just the back and forth that he had with Schulman, because this was one of the first places I saw before I went and saw him writing in other places where he attacks people in the same way. You know, his first response, like, is just like so ridiculous. Nobody who claims to be an NRA member could trash Alongside Night the way this quote unquote Brendan F. Kelly does. It's like, and then here's the proof.
Mr. Kelly is lying.
His subjective opinion, it's a lie. It's like, seriously, this guy just does not, he has no, like, it's beyond having a grasp on logic. He's just so delusional, and this is how he responds to anybody. And it's just, it's funny.
Yeah, it's either no true Scotsman or you're the government. And, you know, you don't even have to, like, look at leaks by Snowden to know about that the government hires people probably to post, you know, to do blogging wars or comment wars. There's actually a white paper that was published out in the open during the Bush administration by a guy who's probably the next Supreme Court judge. What's his name? The guy that wrote Nudge. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm. I don't know what that is.
I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's
too busy listening to the residents.
Oh, Cass Sustein.
Oh, he's going to be a judge? Oh, that's wonderful.
Good chance of it. Well, he was like the czar of everything under Bush and Obama. And then he stopped, and nobody really could figure out why he stopped, because he had a good job. He was liking it, didn't have family conflicts or anything. And the general accepted belief is that it's so he can be, you know, not in the government for a while to have it look legit when he's called up to the big leagues, to the big game, Supreme Court. Yeah.
Nice.
That's horrible.
Yeah, he's a horrible, horrible man.
Cass Sunstein.
Yeah, what was that paper he wrote? That
Nudge was the book he wrote. The really disgusting thing about him is how he brands himself. He calls what he believes in libertarian paternalism. That is an oxymoron. But if you search libertarian on iTunes, he's the first thing that comes up because he did a series called he did a lecture series that ended up on iTunes called Libertarian Paternalism. Blech. I mean, his basic concept is like, he's all for passing all sorts of laws against anything that's fun, you know, but he's also into nudging where you can't or haven't yet passed laws. And nudging, like the examples he gives is, he thinks people should eat less meat. So he thinks that supermarkets should put the meat harder to get to and put the things that he considers healthier, like more up front in the store instead of the back of the store, things like that.
And those are horrible ideas. You know, they always find out planning. That all of these diets end up like not working out. Everyone swore that, oh, we just give everybody a bunch of carbs and low fat stuff and everybody will be skinny, and then everybody got fat. So what's the option this time? Is it going to be paleo this time?
I remember when I first started talking about being really, really sick a couple of years ago, all of a sudden everyone was giving me medical advice. And I realized that if I took all the medical advice everyone gave me, I would be eating nothing. Because there were people that said, like, you have to eat meat all the time, and people that said you can't eat meat, and people that said you can't eat bread, and people that said you need to eat more bread.
Yep.
Ian Freeman kind of pulled that one on me the other day. It was kind of funny. There was a thread where people were talking about the female host they have right now. I don't know her name, but she has a very annoying voice. I don't mind what she says. She just has a voice that makes me and a lot of other people cringe. And I actually gave a backhanded comment on that thread. I said, I think she'd make a good blogger. But Ian Freeman said...
Ian Freeman said
that... That if he took everyone's advice on, got rid of every host that somebody doesn't like, they'd be playing dead air 3 hours a day. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but the paleo thing, like you could lose weight. It's healthy. It's not bad for you. But the premise is false. That's what's unscientific about the paleo. It's like that's not what Paleolithic people.
Oh no, you're right. Oh, absolutely. No, yeah. I absolutely agree with you. And I don't even. I like more the primal anyway, and not even all the time. Just a good percentage of it seems to work.
I think most of these diets come out of like pseudoscience, but they work.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Steve Miller posted it's alongside Night. It's on Amazon Prime and legitimately the worst movie ever made.
That's about right.
Yep.
It really, like, it's just, I mean, I like, there's times I want to feel bad for the guy, but he's just so arrogant about this. And it's,
who, Steve?
No, Shulman.
No.
Shulman.
I know. I'm kidding.
Both of them.
Miller is just so arrogant, I have no idea. He's just so horrible about this. If you put nothing else out, I could understand and protecting it, but you put books out that were supposedly really good, so why are you trying to hang your hat on this movie?
Yeah. Because the movie was based on the book that was really good. And because that, it means it's good. Because
movies are maddening to make. It's because movies are maddening to make, and they take a lot of brain power for a long time.
Alternative to those other shows.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiendbot 3000.
Fiendphone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
a Freedom Fiends Worms button,
and ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squigelps from Death Clocks. And UM's listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
About 6 minutes and 7 minutes until this big WikiLeaks October surprise is supposed to come. I'm looking.
Did it just
for
come?
It.
I thought it was just that Hillary Clinton's using the same tax breaks as Donald Trump. That's what was on Zero Hedge right now.
Oh, I didn't. So I thought it was didn't come out till 3 a.m. But okay, I guess
that was in the news yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's not it.
Yeah, no. Supposedly.
Well, no effects is in the news.
What?
No effects. Crappy punk rock band from San Francisco.
Oh, come on, man. They're pretty awesome. They're kind of skate punky, though.
I don't know. Jim, Steve Miller likes them, or at least owned a compilation put out by Fat Records. He had Fat Music for Fat People, which was named after.
That's a good album.
Rat Music for Rat People. Which also spawned the title of a Cramps record I like, Bad Music for Bad People.
Interesting. I don't know. I seen NoFX live. I saw them and Jayla Biafra spoke before they went on. So, of course, it was all statism. We need free healthcare.
He is really state. You know, it's kind of funny.
I'm Jayla Biafra.
Jayla Biafra taught me to distrust the government. When I was about 18 and I heard Dead Kennedys and listened to their lyrics very carefully. And it's weird that he's so pro-state because he sounds, I guess he's just anti-Republicans, you know, because he was so anti-Ronald Reagan in a lot of that stuff and just anti what was going on in the American government in 1979 and 1985 thereabouts. But yeah, now he's... He just wants more government. He doesn't like Obama, though, because Obama doesn't go not far enough as a liberal for him.
Well, you see, the government sucks. That's why we should just let them take over healthcare. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That was pretty much the thing of his speech was just we all need to suck it up and vote for Kerry because he was running against Bush at the time because Bush is so evil. There couldn't possibly be anything worse than Bush. We learned that was wrong. And whoever they elect next is going to be even worse than Obama. No matter if it's Trump or Clinton, they're going to be worse. Because that's just the natural course of things, you know.
Yeah. Presidents have pretty much gotten worse since Kennedy. What do you think about the theories that...
He wasn't great either.
You think one guy killed Kennedy. Do you really think that, Jim? Absolutely?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I've read the Warren Commission report. I've read the House Senate Committee hearing on assassinations, whatever it's called, HCPA or whatever. Read that report. That one was a little bit dumb. But, I've gone through Vincent Bugliosi's book. And I sat and I watched the mock trial that they had, which was really interesting. It was a 21-hour-long trial, but they only condensed it down to, like, 5 hours.
Who's they?
For YouTube. The people who made the DVD. I don't know.
Who made what DVD?
What they did is they made a mock trial, and they had Vincent Bugliosi, who was a prosecutor for the Manson trial. He later wrote a book because of this trial. And they had another guy who was, like, a famous cowboy attorney, criminal attorney, and he was, like, known for never losing a case.
The guy from
Wyoming.
And
they had a real judge.
Right.
Yeah, he's from Wyoming. Yeah, was it Gates or something like that? Anyways, and they had...
Gates is Bill Gates' dad, and he practices in San Francisco. I've delivered to his office.
Okay. Either way, he's a cowboy attorney from Wyoming. And then they had a real judge, and then they
Gary
had
Spence.
Real... Gary Spence. There we go.
Yeah.
Then they had a real judge, and then actual Dallas people from the Dallas juror pool come in, and they did jury selection and everything. Like they would like a regular jury, pat everyone on under oath, but you know they couldn't be busted for perjury because it's not a real trial. Gave everybody a free 2 weeks in London, paid vacation, everything, and they had the original Warren Commission witnesses there testifying. And you know, if it wasn't for the frame 12, 312, and 313, there was a good chance that they would have found Oswald not guilty, but they found him guilty.
There you have it, people. Jim just proved it.
Well, Oswald acting alone.
Definitive
killed
proof.
John F. Kennedy.
I explained why the proof was compelling to 12 people randomly selected from a Dallas jury pool. That's what I did.
Details, John.
Meow.
You should go watch it. It's an interesting watch either way.
Meow.
Worms.
Thanks, guys. Been good worms.
Worm to your mother.
Worm to your wigwam.